Ride sharing is of interest here in Bryan and College Station. The two city councils have recently enacted their own TNC ordinances. So if you could talk about your interest in doing some statewide regulations.
Right. Well, you know, I want to applaud first the city councils of both Bryan and College Station. They passed ordinances that were thoughtful, that received input from all the various interested parties, and did not impede upon one another. Can you imagine if the city of College Station had passed a real restrictive ordinance and Bryan had not, and how that would affect the ability to avail themselves of the ride-sharing technologies and services. But my concern is that, you know, we're going to have a patchwork of very inconsistent and anti-competitive regulations across the state, with municipalities enacting ordinances that are prohibitive and protectionist, that protect really an outdated monopoly controlled by unions. And so, you know, these policies were to be enacted, these regulations by municipalities, you can see what happened here in Austin with Uber and Lyft extracting themselves because of the overly aggressive regulatory scheme. And that leaves people unprotected. It diminishes mobility. And, of course, it's anti-competitive and anti-free market. Bill, I'd like to paint a picture of young men and women in Northgate that get there by utilizing friends or something, and then they need to get home, and they're inebriated. How do they do that? Or even worse, if they were to drive themselves there, and then not able to be the responsible individual and call an Uber or call a Lyft. And that puts them in danger, and of course it puts people on the road in danger as well.
In the case of what happened in Austin, is it more than just Uber and Lyft not wanting to have third-party fingerprint requirements?
Well, there were the ordinances that were enacted by the Austin City Council required a number of different things that in totality were seen as very restrictive. I certainly think there should be regulation of this new technology, transformative technology. But at the same time, those regulations shouldn't be done in a way that really allows for the protectionism of an industry that is in some ways outdated. And I'm referring to, obviously, the taxis. This is a direct threat to the taxi industry. And a competitive threat, but also one that is I think absolutely necessary and one that has a number of positive developments. For instance, here in Austin, the incidence of drunk driving since the advent of Uber and Lyft has diminished significantly, and those are benefits that really can't be understated.
During the consideration in Bryan and College Station, there were an awful lot, and that's a general term, and I apologize, but there were multiple operators of taxis who are independent operators. That's what they've chosen to do for their livelihood. They're not associated with a specific company. And among the things that they were speaking to was just make it all a level playing field between taxis and ride sharing. Do you think that can be done on a statewide basis?
Yes, I think so. I think it takes leaders that will hear both sides and enact good policy and ones that are not overly supported by one industry or the other. City is fairly well known that city councils in the past have been heavily supported by the taxi industry lobby and unions. The other thing about this is also an economic issue. This competition in free markets. Today, 20,000 Uber and Lyft drivers got pink slips. They lost their job because of the reaction that Uber and Lyft did in reaction to what the Austin City Council did. 5,000 of which were in Senate District 5, my district that I'm privileged to serve. So it's a safety issue. And it's certainly an economic issue, and it's a free market issue as well.
What would you say to those who say that it's the local municipality's business and not the state's business to do this?
Well, I would say that the constituency is much bigger than the individuals that voted on, for instance, this Proposition 1 in Austin. Effects of transportation are regional and statewide, and drunk driving doesn't stop at the city limits. And the need for new modes of mobility and transportation also don't stop at the city limits. So it's appropriate for the state legislature to evaluate this, just as, again, 30 other states have enacted statewide policies. I think Texas can move forward in a way that consistent with our pro-growth and capitalistic stance, free market stance, at the same time addressing the safety concerns brought by individuals.
What will you be doing between now and January when you submit your bill and getting input about what the language is going to be proposed?
Well, we're looking at and discussing with the interested parties, both the ride-sharing companies, the taxi companies, limo companies, and, of course, law enforcement. As you might not know, Chief Art Acevedo of the City of Austin supports continuation of ride-sharing companies here in Austin, and also looking at legislation and actually laws, again, that are in 30 other states, and how they might be changed, added to, subtracted to be the right policy for the state. And we'll be filing a piece of legislation at the beginning of the session that I'm sure will be hotly debated and discussed.
Anything else that I missed that listeners need to know, whether they are here in Bryan-College Station or elsewhere in your district?
To me, as a physician, the bottom line is safety. And this issue of drunk driving and the diminished incidence of drunk driving with the advent of these ride-sharing technologies is paramount. And why would anyone want to make it harder for people to get home safely? And overly restrictive municipal governance and ordinances can do that when they penalize or cause a level playing field to be tilted to the side of one industry relative to the other.